Today on Real Life Radio.
Everything must come through the filter of the Father to come to any one of his children. From the flu to joy to war to victory, even loss has got to come through the filter of God for every believer.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 7. If we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious choice we need to make each and every day. What does that look like in the life of the believer? It's when we watch, listen, and pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us toward God's purpose for our lives. You see, unlike ourselves, God never gives up on us. He always finishes what he starts in our lives, no matter how much emotional stress we find ourselves underneath or how useless we feel. We really can fight against it through the power of the Holy Spirit. The world is anxious, but you know, the follower of Jesus Christ doesn't have to be. We've been attacked from within during this pandemic, but the Holy Spirit can refresh our souls and lift our spirits. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our hearts and minds cannot be separated. When our hearts are troubled, so are our thoughts. But in these times of stress and pressure, God can be the nurturer of our spirits. He is the only one who can take our doubts, our fear, and torment and replace all that with confidence, peace, and comfort. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 7, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What do I do if I'm depressed and sad? Or I'm getting depressed, I'm getting sad. I'm starting to isolate and close down. Pastor, what do I do? Psalm 143:4, therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. A man's laundry in life had been flushed out before the world to read, even to tonight. King David and a few others in the Psalms vented and expressed their heart's dilemma. Why? So you and I could take comfort. This word means that they're being crushed. They don't see any way out. They're about to lose hope. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Can you pray that right now with me? Say it with me if you're depressed and sad. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. God, I'm being reminded right now in this message, I'm not a statistic. I'm a child of the living God. You love me and you've given me life. And Lord, I confess, I have been crippled by fear. I have been crushed by anxieties. I don't have my friends with me, family members isolated. I might lose my job. I've been sequestered. And Lord, I just can't take it anymore. But wait a minute, friend, you're hearing something. And God is saying, I know where you're at. I'm the answer to this crushing. And oh, by the way, on top of it, I'm the one that will deal with your anxieties. And the psalmist makes that announcement, search my heart, because I'm laden with anxieties. Acts chapter 2, verse 26, a lot of verses. Acts 2, verse 26, therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. That's the answer. They went to the word of God and they found hope. Listen, I know it feels like some of you, I'm kicking while you're down, but I'm not. I'm exhorting you. This is exhortation. Stop with the news. Stop with the apps. Stop with the TV. Turn it off. Dive into the Bible. Dive into the Word of God. Read the book of Psalms. I'm calling out to the Christian church in America tonight. Now, get back to the Psalms. Start reading them. Turn off the TV for about, I don't know, 96 hours. Nothing's going to change, by the way. Trust me, I've done it. Turn it off, and when you turn it on, it's going to be the same bozo arguments. This will transform your life. Fast. So what do you mean fast? Go without food for 24 hours. Watch it happens. A calm will come over you as you seek God, read in the word, and your flesh begins to calm down. God begins to speak to you, and your heart begins to be buoyant. Psalm 22, verse 14. Psalm 22, 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me, was the Psalm of David, and it was recited again by Jesus at the cross. Psalm 22, 14. My heart was like wax and it melted within me. The Hebrew word means my heart was in me and I felt it with the news. I felt it fall inside of me to the bottom of my gut. It means to fall like wax melts and falls. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 11. Lamentations 2, 11. Listen to this. My eyes fail with tears. My heart is troubled. Listen, my bile is poured out on the ground. You know, I looked up other versions of this, and in the other versions, it says things really nice and cleaned up. Hey, the old King James and the new King James says it as the word appears. You know what it means? Listen, my eyes fail with tears. It means I've cried so much, I don't have any more moisture in my tears. My heart is troubled. We get the thought of earthquake. In my heart, can you imagine? Earthquake. You say, I don't have to imagine, Pastor, I'm going through it. I understand, I do. My bile is poured out on the ground. Do you know what he's talking about? I think you know. My bile, I'm so distressed, I vomit from anxiety, from fear. My heart is destroyed with all that's going on. It shouldn't be said to the Christian. But if that's you, Christian, get back to the word. Get back to him. So listen, how do I fight against my heart, Pastor Jack, and win the raging of my heart? Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. By the way, this is the first verse I memorized as a brand new Christian in 1977. First verse I ever memorized as a Christian. Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found. And I ate them. Think of the Bible. I found your Bible and I ate it. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Why? For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. The word God of hosts means the God of armies. I like that. I found your Bible and I read it like I was eating it. And when I ate it, my heart began to explode with joy. Because I found out that I'm called by your name. I belong to you, God. Christian, remember, you belong to him because you're the God, the Lord of hosts, the God of armies. You say, how does that correlate? Because you know what? Remember when we were little kids, little guys, I don't know, little kids, boys would do this. I don't know about what little girls would do. But little boys, we'd all say to our friends, my dad's taller than your dad. No, he's not. Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah? Well, my dad's richer than your dad. No, he's not. Yes, he is. And then when it really gets nasty, it's this. My dad can beat up your dad. I remember hearing that one time. My dad can beat up your dad. And you know, kids do that. One kid said, my dad can beat up your dad. And the kid said, that's nothing. My mom can beat up my dad. It was a pretty funny moment. This comparing. Let me tell you, God is your father. He's the Lord of hosts. And there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. There is no evil that can befall you. Dear Christian, listen up. Nothing can come to you in this life that isn't father filtered. Everything must come through the filter of the father to come to any one of his children. From the flu to joy to war to victory. Even loss has got to come through the filter of God for every believer. Take heart in the Lord, my dear friend. Psalm 119, verse 111 and 112. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my ear to perform your statutes forever. To the very end. I'm a Christian and I'm gonna follow God. I'm not giving up. Number three, me, my soul, and the Holy Spirit. My soul. The word soul, by the way, is in the New Testament, psuche. It's where we get the foundation. We get the word psychology, psucheology, the study of the inner person or the mind or the thinking of a person, often referred to as the soul. And we must remember something, by the way, church, that as it's sadly literally too familiar to us, but to us, we rarely think about it, but this body of ours is the residence of the soul. We always think about our body. Listen, there's nothing about your body that's depressed. There's nothing about your body that's sad. You can't do that. This is just a bio machine. It's your soul. The soul makes up much of what you and I are in our existence. The soul. Watchman Nee wrote a book called, I forgot the name of the book, it's about this thick. I forget. You'll look it up. Watchman Nee and something about the soul. I'm sorry. He talked about there regarding the human soul. And it's quite fascinating. It's very insightful. But he mentions how the soul is something that goes with the flow. The soul will follow whoever's in charge. If your flesh is in charge, the soul will allow itself to go down flesh areas. It will think fleshy thoughts. It will do fleshy things. It will approve of whatever the body wants to do. And if you are of a spirit led by the Spirit of God, your soul will say, let's go worship. Let's read the Bible. The soul will point in any direction that it's being led. That's why he mentions the soul in that book as being a mistress of every man. The soul will do and go with whoever's doing the biggest, the strongest, the loudest flirting. If it's the flesh, then it's going to go. If it's the spirit, then it's going to go. Your soul matters. In Psalm 42, verse 11, David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Why are you so depressed, soul? Imagine David going, why are you so depressed? What's wrong with you? Isn't that amazing? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. You see, you're not a freak for being depressed. You're not a freak for being sad. You're not a freak. You're not some subterranean Christian. You're not some subhuman. We're prone to these things. It's probably safe to say that if anybody was to ever pick to be a Christian or a follower of God in all of history, I would think it would come down to Paul, maybe Peter, I don't know. Noah would be cool. But I think the overriding selection is David. David is like the all about, all around, most representation of the believer's life. And David would often be depressed. Did you know that? Didn't surprise us. He was highly emotional. David was highly creative. He was a worship leader. He was a songwriter. He was an intense warrior. Those kinds of things come with people wired like that. But you don't have to be wired like that to be depressed. But God has an answer for you. Jeremiah 31, 25. Listen, the human soul has emotion, says the Bible. It's not in your body. It's in your soul, your emotions. For I have refreshed the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Jeremiah 31, 25. I can tell right now, just in my own heart, that's a verse you're going to want to write on your hand or your arm for a while. Jeremiah 31, 25. What a great verse. And then we also know that as Christ followers, that we know that our human soul is often in a battle that rages as a believer, in a wars against the things of this world. That's what many of us are going through right now. Do you understand as a pastor? Look, America has turned so antichrist. I should say this. Our elected leaders in many of our states have turned antichrist. They're allowing other things to take place, but not the church. For example, if this facility slapped a Costco sign on it, we could open up tomorrow. But our politics doesn't want us to open because we're a church. You don't think we're fighting up against spiritual powers? It's not the men and women in the flesh. It's the demonic powers that are puppeting them to go against the church. 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." You know what's sad? Listen up, everybody. When this thing hit, did you know people began downloading Bible material, sermons and all this stuff, and nobody was downloading porn. The porn industry online almost died. Isn't that awesome? Now, people are starting to go back. They're starting to feel comfortable where they're at, to the point where the enemy now comes in and tempts them, and people are starting to log on, and people are starting to really show the colors. It's sad, but we cannot separate our thoughts from the soul life. All these things are dovetail and mingled together. 3 John chapter 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." God wants your soul to prosper. Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us that the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can cause the division, and it does that very thing, and the piercing even between the division of the soul and the spirit. The word of God's the answer. And the Bible goes on in that verse to say that God's word even discerns among the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's an awesome verse for all of the above that we've been talking about, is Hebrews 4:12. Number 4, me, my spirit, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you and I have a spirit. We read that in our opening, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God placed a spirit in you. You have a spirit. And by the way, the Bible says that when you and I are born as babies into this world, the Bible says we are spiritually dead. That baby's brand new in this world, 9 months old since conception, but new in this world, but spiritually dead. And all that child's life growing up, until they're born again, they're spiritually dead. Did you know that? That's what the Bible teaches. You never heard that before. Why should you read your Bible? We're born spiritually dead. That's what the Holy Spirit tries to get us to live again. But in times like this of being where we're at, we need to get alone with God, and we need to get nurturing in our spirit from him. The Bible wants to wake us up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Isn't that amazing? Colossians 2:13 says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him," Christ, "having forgiven you of all your trespasses." Christian, remember that. You've been forgiven of your sins. You're made anew. You're made alive. It's the spirit man that is new, the born again you, that you want to feed and strengthen. Here we go. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Friends, it's still in the Bible. It's still there. 4 things I want you to think of. What is the most prevailing thought subject in your life? What's your most prevailing thought? Most constant prevailing thought in your life? Just answer that in your head. Is it God or something else? Number 2, what do you want more than anything else in this world? If you could have anything in this world right now, what would that be? Number 3, if you could wish for anything, what would you wish for? Somebody handed you 3 wishes, what would you wish for? Number 1, how about if somebody handed you 1 wish, what would you wish for? Number 4, if you had 1 chance to make a decision, what decision would you make? I asked you those questions because for the non-believer, the person who is not born again, does not have a living spirit, they thought things like win the lottery, go to the beach, become the richest man in the world, travel the world. The Christian answered something like this. What's the most prevailing thought in your mind? Jesus, heaven, God, my walk with God. What would you want if you could have anything in this world? To get out of this world. But if I have to stay in this world to be drawn closer to Jesus, if you could wish for anything, what would that be? A life that mattered for God, that my life might give glory to him. These are automatic, global, instantaneous, eternal responses from the believer. If you had a chance to make a decision, what would it be? To be with Jesus, Something of that nature. Number five, we end here. Me, my body, and the Holy Spirit. My body and the Holy Spirit. The God of the Bible is a redemptive God. He redeems. He must, listen to this, he must, based on his own revelation of his word, he must redeem all things to himself. You say, what do you mean by that? He must. Let me put it to you this way. It's a burden on God's heart that no one perish, but that all come to eternal life. Now, will all be saved? No. He didn't make robots. Some people will reject him even unto death. But he's a redemptive God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? The Holy Spirit dwells in you, the believer. Can I put it to you bluntly? You don't have the authority and you don't have the right or the license or the freedom to take your own life. Because you don't own your life, Christian. You can't do it. Because you belong to him. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He's inside of you. You have no authority to remain depressed when God gives you so many promises. Awake from the dead. Arise, you who dwell in the dust. Get up, for the day has dawned and the light has come upon you. Stand. And you need to stand up at, start getting a shower in the morning. Get out of bed. Walk, go do something until you're able to go back to work. You must present your body to Almighty God who owns you, who bought you at a great price. And we end right here, last verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Isn't that awesome? The God of the Bible doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants you to not die. He wants you to live. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Think about the narrative of this world and the direction of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. 100% is the will of God that you be healed of your depression, sadness, of your melancholy because of all of this pressure on you. It is the will of God that you not be depressed any longer. God wants to heal you of this worldly narrative. He has given you his word, and though they slay me, yet shall I trust in him. If the heavens and the earth are removed and the mountains are cast into the sea, yet my soul shall take its delight in the Lord. What shall man do unto me? To live is Christ and to die is gain. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 7. Thanks for being with us today. The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 7, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions in life as we look to God's Word for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you want some news that won't lie to you or stress you out? All you have to do is go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and check out the Real Life Media Ministry for radio and video programming. You can also access other resources from Pastor Jack's library. So stay informed and educated with the truth of God's Word at jackhibbs.com. We'd also like to encourage you to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer. You can download the Real Life mobile app through the App Store or through our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.